That what you need to hear, God will speak in some way to that need this morning. I want to speak to you about peace this morning.
Amen.
A pastor in a local church there in Hawkall said, "Brother, I'm not going to be able to be with a home group. I've got to be out of town. Can you come?" So sure, I came, and I was talking with them about different things that we, aspects of the Christian life. And we came to peace, and that's where the conversation went, right there. I mean, everybody was like, yeah, you need peace, have these struggles, these problems, these issues. One lady said, in my home, my parents are just always fighting. We were talking about that, and after a little while, somebody knocked on the door. It was her mama, and so nobody said anything. You know, she'd been talking about her parents, but her mama came in and found that we were talking about peace, and she says, "Oh, yes, we need peace. I'm always fighting with my husband." You know, just lay the cards on the table. All of us have something going on and need the Lord's peace in our lives. We could talk about different things when we talk about peace. First of all, I want to say that what the Word of God instructs us to do is to be at peace with all men. It says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And so in praying about that, I just felt like the important thing to share about that is this, what comes out of the mouth, the tongue. So I'd like to share with you James 3, 9 through 10. Sometimes it speaks about the tongue here. This verse does, and it says, sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And so we need to see that if we have come to the point to say, God, I want you to be in charge of my life, I give my life to you, then this is part of that life, you know, and there needs to be a dedication to the Lord in our lives that says, I will be careful with what I say. And we should not be letting cursing and blessing come out of the same mouth. No word from our mouths should come except for that which is useful for edification. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That's big. None of us are guilty of saying something wrong that hurts people. Yeah, we all have. And another version says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. And that is a high standard. But we can be thankful for that. I mean, if we realize God is a God that has high standards for us. God is not there saying, oh, it's okay, we know you can't do it. No. God is saying, I will help you to rise up to the great standards that I have for your life. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord tells us difficult things because he cares about us and he wants us to have the best lives that we can, the best relationships that we can have, be the most blessing that we can be to other people. So nothing comes from this mouth, except for what is helpful, beneficial for others according to their needs. And while we're talking about high standards, the next verse, Philippians 2, 14 through 15, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. How far would we have to roll back the tape of what happened this week to get to where I was complaining or arguing? You know, this, I think another version says grumbling about things. So we all deal with this. You know, the stress comes, the words go. And we have to be careful. Romans 12:18 tells us, do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. I've talked about what comes out of the mouth, but it also applies to our actions. What we do, what we say, affects people around us. And those words, self-control, are so important, you know. And I just want to ask you to think about something. How do we talk with people in public? I told somebody, I was just kind of standing over there at the door this morning. I was watching y'all have a good time together. You're greeting each other and smiling and enjoying your time together before church started. But I have to realize, and maybe we're all this way to some degree, but how are we in public, and then how are we in private? Because we're supposed to make sure that everyone is encouraged by what we say, that everyone is built up by what we say, that what we say is not harmful to anyone. And so when we think about that, a lot of times we think, okay, even those people that really tick me off, you know, those people that are hard to get along with in my work and my job, or those relatives, you know, man, when those cousins come to visit, it's something else, you know. We think about those things. Those are the everyone's that are hard, you know, to say. But sometimes that everyone includes those that really love us and that we really love, and the people that we're closest to, they're everyone too. And sometimes all the political correctness goes out the window, you know, when you're with the ones that you trust, and then before you know it, you haven't been careful with what you say or how you say it, or that tone of voice that you said it with. It might have been something beautiful you said, but you said it with the wrong tone of voice, and somebody got hurt, you know. So let's be careful with that. Because those that are close with you, that love you, that you love them, but they still need to have that peace with you on a daily basis. And I also want to talk to you today about having peace in spite of the circumstances. We want to have peace in our relationships and the people around us. But sometimes there's not an inner peace because we're dealing with all the anxiety and the worries. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And so what does this have to say as far as having peace in when the circumstances are adverse? I feel like a lot of times we get to something that we're worried about, something that's a challenge, something that's difficult, a problem that we're dealing with, and we start calculating. You know, they invented the calculator because they were copying what goes up here. And we're calculating, you know, when this gets to this point, this circumstance develops in such a way, then how am I going to respond to counteract and to deal with this? And we've got our own understanding going on. And of course, it's good to use our noggins and to do our best. But in the end, where is our trust? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. The saying, and I think they have it in English too, but in Guatemala we say, don't tell God how big your problem is. Tell your problem how big your God is. And I think sometimes we tend to go to God and we're saying, God, you're paying attention here, right? You realize that I have no way to get out of this situation. And we end up telling God how big our problem is. And we need to come to the Lord and say, God, I am glad you're a big God. And I can't see through it. I can't see through it. But I know you're bigger than this circumstance. And in some circumstances, God will give you the wisdom. It's not your own understanding. He'll give you a wisdom that goes beyond that to take care of things. James 1:5-6 says that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. I want to stop right there. Can we go back to that one? Oh, good. I'm glad you can. I don't know who this is for, but this says that God gives generously to all without finding fault. And I know we come in here and we're happy to be together and we're all sitting there smiling. Let me see your smiles. Okay. But sometimes we don't feel like we're the ones that God will give generously to. We all have a past, we all have a history, and we've made some mistakes. And sometimes we carry that when God wants us to be free from it. And I think that sometimes we're holding on to this reason why God will not bless us when he gives generously to all without finding fault. Your petition does not come to a God who says, oh, let's see if you qualify. No, your petition comes to a God who qualifies you because he loves you. So we can trust in him. And so he can give us the wisdom. He can help us to see how to deal with situations. But there's other instances when it's not so much the wisdom we need, it's the miracle we need. Let's go on to Matthew chapter 8. We have one of the stories in the Bible where there's a storm, and Jesus' followers are out in a boat, and the storm comes on them. I'm just imagining that they grew up hearing about so-and-so that was lost at sea, and so-and-so that didn't survive the storm, and et cetera, and this comes on them. And if you read more in Matthew 8, you'll see that they were fearing their lives. They were like, Jesus, we're going to die. And so in Matthew 8, Jesus speaks to them and he says, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. This is Jesus who has high standards. I mean, who's not going to be afraid in a storm that could take your life, you know? But Jesus was training them. Jesus was refining them. Jesus was lifting them up to his standards. And their faith needed to be ready for the storms and for future circumstances they would deal with. So he says, you have little faith. Why are you so afraid? He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. There's the peace. It was completely calm. And I don't know what storms you're dealing with, but we speak to the one who brings it to completely calm to that point. And so Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us, do not be anxious about anything. Anything is one of those big words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. Remember, you're talking to the God who does want to bless you. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. We can be thankful already because we know who we're talking to, and we know that he is in control. Our God is a big God. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so, as those who want to follow Jesus, let's receive the words that he gave to his followers in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Do you see how Jesus said, don't worry in that moment, in your anxiety, when you're just focused on your problem, a beam of light is going to shine down from heaven, and you're going to hear this heavenly, ah, and peace will overcome you. Do you see that in that verse? No, Daniel says, I don't see it. I don't see it either. He put it on us. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Will he help us? Will he give us peace? Peace is fruit of the Holy Spirit. But he's saying, do not let your heart. You've got to practice that self-control. You draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You position yourself to receive from God. When you see that fear come in, and you've got a reason for it to be there, when you feel that worry enveloping you, that anxiety, but you've got that self-control, and you say, no, I will trust in the Lord. I don't even feel it yet. I feel like throwing myself in front of a car or something. I don't know, but you don't feel it yet, but you make the decision to go with the word of the Lord. You make a decision to say, I will seek the Lord's peace in this circumstance. I will see that my God is big God. I need to share with you a principle from Acts 2:38. We said that peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that when we look to the Lord, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. Here, when the church was starting, after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and Peter is preaching, and he's talking with the people, and they says, what do we do? And Peter says, each of you must repent of your sins, turn away from your sins, and turn to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so there's a principle here in this verse that leaving behind the sins, repenting, and being forgiven of your sins, and then you receive. And so I can talk to you all, you know, about how God loves you and he wants to give you peace in every circumstance and in every relationship. And I can talk to you about, you know, receiving that. But sometimes there's a sin. Sometimes there's not peace because there's something that's not right. And we've got to lay that down. We've got to say, yes, Lord, I am willing to give this up. I am willing to change this. I am willing to say, yeah, I'm wrong, and I'll do differently, so that we're lining ourselves up to receive the work of the Holy Spirit, to receive that peace that God wants to give to us. I want to close the message there. And I just want us to have a time of prayer. And I don't know. We had prayer requests. We know some of the circumstances that we're dealing with here. But everyone knows what's going on in their lives. And I just want us to come before the Lord in this time. If you want to stand, if you want to remain seated, if you want to kneel, Lord, we need you. And I'm so thankful, Lord, for this church and for everyone that's here, Lord. Lord, I don't know what's in their sea, if it's mainly calm this morning and they can rejoice in that, or if there's a storm there. And Lord, we must say, Lord, forgive us. Because sometimes we just really have seen how big the problem is, how difficult the situation is. We feel almost like, I think there's some that would say the relationship is just lost. It's gone. It's just, there's no way to mend it. Lord, forgive us when we've looked at the problem as so big. Lord, you calm the sea. You've healed so many. You've changed so many. You've begun a beautiful work in us. We believe that you will bring it to completion, Lord. This day, Lord, we choose to trust in you. And Lord, we won't say that we can't. We won't say that we can't receive from you. Because Jesus has already shed his blood. He's already paid the price to take anything away that had separated us from you, Lord. We may have things we wouldn't want to confess to the others in this room, Lord. But you knew about it before we even did it. You knew about it before it happened. You gave your son for us anyway. You decided to make a way for us to receive from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for deciding that we were worth it. Lord, thank you that in this moment you are here with us and we can trust in you, Lord. Lord, I just pray your spirit rest on each one. Lord, thank you for bringing your peace. Lord, we need you. Lord, we wouldn't do so good walking on the waters by ourselves or dealing with the storms by ourselves. But Lord, you're with us. You're with us, Lord. You're faithful. And regardless of what we feel in this moment and in this room, we know the world around us outside of these doors will just offer everything else, worries and lies and problems. But you're with us, Lord. You're with us and you are the victor. You are great. Help us to have, oh Lord, that self-control. Self-control. We'll watch over what is in our hearts. And when that anxiety comes, we'll say, no, no, I will trust in the Lord. I will seek the face of my God, the living God. And Lord, I thank you. Lord, I just want to declare over this church and over this Christian family that as they walk with you, Lord, these problems will turn into testimonies of your greatness, Lord. That your greatness will be seen in their lives, will be seen in their families, will be seen in their finances, in every need. Lord, you will show your glory. You will show your greatness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. It has been so good to be with you today and to know that the Lord is at work here in you and in your church. And thank you so much for what you have done for us these 19 plus years. And we do really want to be in touch with you. Well, I'll be out in the foyer as you're leaving. And if you have any questions or anything, then I'd love to be there to talk with you. If you don't have a picture of my pretty family yet, you can get one of those and we'll see how we can.